feel guilty interrupting the James Bond theme, so I won't. Let's play it in its entirety, and then when we're done, we'll play it again.
I wish we could.
Is it possible that James Bond could have really existed? Well, kind of, sort of. There's a new book called Into the Lion's Mouth, The True Story of Dusko Popov, World War II Spy, Patriot, and the Real-Life Inspiration for James Bond. The author of that book, Larry Loftus, joins us on the phone right now. Larry, we want to believe this is true. There really was a James Bond, right?
There really was.
I love it. Tell me more about him. I've never even heard of this guy. Why have I never heard of Dusko Popov? No one has.
That's why I wrote the book, because I hadn't either. I had actually stumbled upon this when I was researching for, I was going to write an historical fiction book, espionage, because I like that genre, and I figured, well, I'll figure out what real spies did to make my book better, and I started researching and started digging, and greatest spy, most daring spy, and all roads led to Popov. I'm like, who is this guy? And then the more I dug, I found out, wait, this guy, in fact, inspired Fleming's James Bond. And the more I read, I'm like, wait, this guy did more things in real life than I'm making up for my fictional character. So I got rid of my fiction book, focused on him full time, and the fiction book became nonfiction. I just wrote this book about Dusko Popov.
So Ian Fleming, how did he come across this Serbian playboy?
Exactly. The connection between Fleming and Popov and Bond. Ian Fleming worked for Naval Intelligence. He was the assistant to Admiral John Godfrey, who was the British Naval Intelligence Director. And Godfrey supervised, he was on the two committees which supervised Popov. And so Godfrey and Fleming knew who this man was. I mean, he was Germany's best star spy, and he was Britain's best spy, but of course a double agent. And what we see in Casino Royale, the first film, the first book, the first novel is Casino Royale. That's a thinly veiled recreation of what happened in Estoril in 1941. And the casino scene that we see in Casino Royale really happened in Casino Estoril. Estoril is a suburb of Lisbon. It's the French Riviera, if you will, or the Portuguese Riviera in Lisbon.
So
what we see in that casino scene actually happened. Le Chiffre was a gentleman named Block. Fleming was Mathis, and Popov was Bond.
If I remember correctly, what you had there in Casino Royale was kind of a high-stakes baccarat game, right? Is that what was going on?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And that's what Fleming saw. He just recreated what he saw. It was in both instances, the real and the recreation. It was a high-stakes baccarat where the villain, Le Chiffre, in the film and the book, and then Block, the real person, and the money was MI6 money. In both instances, in the real and in the recreation, it was MI6 money that Popov and later Bond were actually betting with.
What more do we want to know about Dusko Popov? That, you know, there was this baccarat game that was going on, but what else did Ian Fleming find out about Popov's early life?
Well, Fleming, Popov had to be vetted. He was a Serb. He was from Yugoslavia, so he had to be vetted. So in the MI5 files, we see what they did in vetting him. They went into great detail who he was, where he was from, and really, and this is why the Germans loved him and the British both loved him, because if you want a perfect spy, here's what you want. This is what Popov brought to the table. Came from a wealthy family. He was highly educated. He had a law degree from the University of Belgrade and a doctorate in law from the University of Freiburg in Germany. He spoke five languages. He was a crack shot with a pistol. He won two shooting contests. He was charming. He was handsome. He had ice water in his veins. I mean, it's just the perfect spy. So that's why both sides absolutely loved him. And Fleming, of course, comes across him not only in talking to Godfrey, but actually when they met in Estoril in 1941, and then in the Palacio Hotel, and then in Casino Estoril.
Larry, James Bond has a certain amount of trademarks. Let's go through a couple of them. Tell me if Popov had anything similar. James Bond, of course, an incredible ladies' man. Same with Popov or not?
Why do you think his name was Popov?
Oh, come on.
Well done. Popov makes Bond look like a Boy Scout.
Really?
As Ian Fleming has said many times, James Bond only had one girlfriend per book, basically. One girl per book, one per year.
Yeah.
Popoff had 2, 3, 4 women at every city. So in Lisbon, he's got 2, 3, or 4. In London, in Madrid, in Rio. I mean, the MI5 files are filled with love letters from these ladies. He seduced his own spy, which Fleming recreated with Vesper in Casino Royale. But Popoff seduced his own sub-agent. Friedel Gardner was her name. And then he seduced German spies, the German female agents who the Germans were sending to make sure that he was legit.
Yeah.
So he really does makes James Bond look like a Boy Scout.
All right, so cars, you say, I'm sorry, ladies, yes, what about cars? James Bond has a penchant for really expensive, fast cars. Same
absolutely.
With Popoff?
As did Popoff. He had fast cars everywhere. He drove a BMW in Germany. He drove a Jaguar in Lisbon. And ironically enough, he did not drive an Aston Martin, but his driver, MI5 had a driver always picking him up and carrying him to the airport. His driver was St. John Horsfall, who was a professional race car driver before the war and, in fact, had won the 38 Leinster Trophy driving an Aston Martin.
Wow. Coincidence? That's great.
Yeah. Exactly.
What about gadgets? James Bond has this thing where he's got all these high-tech gadgets. Same with Popoff, or not as much?
No. The spies then didn't really use the gadgets. Popoff carried a revolver with him to Lisbon, which he wasn't supposed to do. But when you're a double agent and your cover's blown, you kind of need that just in case. But he dealt with and had to become an expert with secret ink, because that's how the Germans wanted him to send information, so he had to use secret ink all the time, and they had developers to make it show up. But most importantly, he had to memorize pages and pages of questionnaires, because he couldn't operate with anything on him or in his suitcase. His stuff was his rooms were always searched, his belongings were searched, so he couldn't carry anything. So he had to memorize pages and pages of information whenever he went out on assignment.
All right, I'm looking at his picture, and they have Mr. Popoff next to Roger Moore. And he was a handsome man, don't get me wrong, but all the men who portrayed James Bond seem to be much more attractive.
Yeah, sure.
No doubt. And in fact, so what does that tell you about Popoff's charm?
It's still
It worked for him.
Right. If he's not the best, if he's not, you know, the Hollywood obviously has Hollywood good looks.
Right.
Sean Connery and Roger Moore and Pierce Brosnan, they look like Hollywood stars. And he was, I mean, he was a handsome guy, but he wasn't like that, which means how charming would he have to be to pull off what he did?
Right. Right. Now, James Bond has incredibly colorful villains, Dr. No, Goldfinger, the list goes on and on and on. Anything even close to that with Dusko Popoff?
Yes and no. I mean, you don't have the Dr. No that's on an island and doing those kind of crazy things. But remember, this is World War II. So he's dealing with real villains, the Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
And with Germany, he really had three masters. He had the Abwehr, which is military intelligence. He had the SD, which is the Nazi intelligence, political intelligence. And then he had the Gestapo. And all of them wanted him. They wanted access to him. They weren't supposed to have. Only the Abwehr was, but they all wanted him. And they all gave him basically chores to do. And so when his cover's blown, what happens to a spy? MI5 knew his cover was blown. The FBI had blown his cover in 42, 43. And so when he has to go back to Lisbon, they said, no, you can't go. Your cover's blown. And he's like, well, I have to, because they're D-Day. You know, we've got to convince them of D-Day. You don't have any other spies that actually meet with the Abwehr or the Gestapo or the SD, and they want that. I mean, they have to have a person that actually explains all this, and I'm the only guy that does that. I'm the only guy you have. And MI5 said, look, if you go, we hear you, we like that, it's impressive, but if you go, they're going to torture you and
right.
kill you. And, you know, his response was, well, they won't kill me right away, and his case officer said, you might wish they had.
Oh, man. Larry Loftus is our guest. He is the author of Into the Lion's Mouth, The True Story of Dusko Popoff. That's the real-life James Bond. He inspired Ian Fleming. Now, his name, Popoff, is very similar to Popeye. Did he also inspire Max Fleischer, do you think, with Popeye?
No, I'm thinking of the coach of the San Antonio Spurs, Popovich.
Oh, maybe him, too, yeah.
So how long did Mr. Popoff live?
69. He lived a full life. Like James Bond, he was a heavy drinker, heavy smoker, but he lived a normal life and retired to Opio, France, right by Nice, actually.
Was he ever really recognized as a hero, would you say? Is that a fair assessment, Larry, or not?
He was. It had to be kept secret because, again, he's a spy, and the British don't want anyone to know that. So he is awarded. He receives the highest award that any spy ever received, the Order of the British Empire. It's knighted, actually, and it's supposed to be a presentation at Buckingham Palace awarded by the king. And so he's awarded an OBE, Officer of the British Empire, but they can't give it to him in Buckingham Palace because that would be public. So they have to give it to him secretly, which they do after the war. They give it to him secretly. Where would be the appropriate place to give a playboy spy that, you know, basically is James Bond? They give it to him in the cocktail lounge of the Ritz.
Oh, nice. That makes perfect sense. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Well, the book looks great. Would it shock you if at some point they said to you this would make a good movie? Because it seems like it would, Larry.
I have heard that a few times.
Yeah. That wouldn't be the worst thing, would it? The book is called Into the Lion's Mouth, The True Story of Dusko Popov, World War II Spy Patriot, and the Real Life Inspiration for James Bond. And the author, Larry Loftus, has been our guest. Larry, thanks very much.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Wendy.
And what a great idea for Father's Day for all the fathers that are Bond fans out there.
They'll
find out the real James Bond. Great book. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Wendy.
We'll take a quick break and then a lot more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.